actually getting it delivered to people who are sometimes only hundreds of metres from the store. There's apparently a multi-million dollar business in doing this. So what on earth is going on? So we're going to have a chat to a futurist this morning and ask what you're seeing and what you're noticing and how you're adapting to an economy that is changing so fast. I suspect, in fact, that never in the history of civilization has a generation had to adapt to change as much as we're expected to do so right now.
You're with John Fain on ABC Radio Melbourne. Call 1-300-222-774 or text 0437-774-774.
Yes, 24 minutes to 9. I'm fascinated by a number of different things. I'm going to try and draw threads between them and see if, in fact, we can make some links this morning. The boss of the Reserve Bank says it would be good for the economy if workers were a bit more bolshy in calling for wage rises at the same time. Some of the big fast food chains have realised that there's hundreds of millions of dollars potentially in revenue to be gained by delivering their food to sometimes just a couple of hundred metres away. Believe it or not, fast food, not gourmet food, but just fast food delivered to somewhere, maybe even just around the corner, and there's money to be made out of this. So what's going on in our economy? It's a bit hard to get your head around it. Maurice Misielewski is a business futurist who spends a lot of time working with corporations and public and private sector both in trying to deal with the way our world is so rapidly changing. Morning to you, Maurice.
Good morning, John.
My head's spinning.
Yeah, all of our heads are spinning. There's a lot going on, isn't there?
There is. First of all, it's a bit counter-cyclical when the boss of the Reserve Bank tells workers, arise, ye masses, and rise up against the bosses. We're sort of used to the opposite. And then when we hear about some of the, how do I describe them, the fast food giants, people who have tiny, tiny margins and have been trying to encourage us to do the drive-through thing, are saying now, no, don't worry, don't even move out of your couch, we'll bring the food to you. And there's hundreds of millions of dollars of turnover in this. You start to wonder what sort of a world we're heading to.
It's extraordinary. Look, our world in many ways is devolving, I think. We're moving back to a pre-industrial revolution age. What we're talking about is what was considered to be normal before the 1960s. You know, our milkman came to our door, the bread was delivered to the door, we had suits made bespoke. But that's one part of what's happening. And what really we're saying to the world is that I'm important again. I don't want a mass-produced product. I want something made specifically for me and brought to me. And that's one side. But then to go to your earlier point about work, work is so significantly different. You know, I'm a baby boomer. When I grew up, I was told that I would have one job for life, one career. Our kids today, according to the Australian Bureau of Statistics, will have 6 careers and 14 jobs. They're likely to live to 100, 120. They're likely to work to 80 or 90, and they're not going to work 9 to 5 because that boat's sailed. They'll work project and task driven where and when is appropriate. So everything about the nature of who we are and how we're working and what we'll work is really up for grabs and debate at the moment.
So the disruptive economy that we're told about that's already wreaked havoc with so many businesses, and we're seeing businesses that seem to have 100-year history just fall over in the space of less than a decade, and likewise we're seeing some of the biggest companies in the world didn't exist even 10 years ago, the pace of change seems to be endlessly accelerating. Physics, apart from anything else, tells us that that can't keep on happening forever.
Well, it's not forever, but it's certainly for the next couple of decades. I actually am not convinced that the pace of change is that rapid. I just think that we're seeing so many parallel changes happening that for most of our existence that we can remember or that we can read about, there was one significant change. There was the printing press, there was the radio, there was the television, whatever it was, and it had a decade or two to catch hold, and nothing else really took centre stage from it. But today, literally, we have something, as you've said, the on-demand economy, which is delivering to our door, and then in parallel to that, we have a changing workforce. In parallel to that, we have artificial intelligence, and the list just goes on. So, in fact, there are just so many things that we have to respond to at once, and that's the significant change.
And the Reserve Bank boss says people are worried about robots, quite apart from foreign workers.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that. We're definitely going to see robots, but it's not the 1960, you know, science fiction version of a robot. We have something called the chatbot at the moment, which are those online things that we talk to in the bottom right-hand side of our screen when we're booking our airfares and accommodation. They're certainly beginning, and that's a software piece, they're certainly beginning to take away sales jobs, front-end jobs. We've got Macy's in America who's using them for first point of call, if you want to know where your product is or where they have it in store. Those kind of chatbots, software ones, are certainly rising. We've seen them in manufacturing, but walking around our factories and things are still a way off. But yes, we're beginning to see more of them. But I think it's the structural change of work that is significantly changing. And what we're seeing are the repetitive jobs are beginning to be done by machines. And for the first time ever in humanity, and this is the big change, is that our thinking jobs are moving to technology. And we've not yet seen that before, and we're not quite sure what that will do.
We've got used to the notion of the digital divide, but I suspect it's no longer a divide, it's a gaping chasm, Morris.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean,
either you're on the conveyor belt, or if you're off, you're pretty much just left behind.
Well, I hope not, but the reality is, yes, I mean, it's going to be increasingly difficult to catch up. That doesn't mean that we all have to be tech savvy. It means that we've got to be tech proud, we've got to be aware of it and not frightened of it. And I understand that's a big call for many, many people. But for the last 30 or 40 years, there wouldn't be a job literally on the planet that hasn't been impacted by some sort of technology, whether that's the humble PC as we know it now, or the mobile phone, or social media. And we're going to see more of them as our technology moves closer to us. Because I'm convinced that we're no longer Homo sapiens, I'm convinced we're Homo cyborgs. We're constantly connected to technology now in our personal lives, in our business lives, and in our general lives, and we've just got to become accustomed to it. I'm not arguing that it's a great thing, I'm just saying that it is a thing.
Homo cyborg?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that, Laurie.
Well, we're not, but think about most of our listeners, that for all of us, even the ones who are uncomfortable, if we didn't know where our mobile phone was or our dumb phone was, we get this, you know, this feeling in the pit of our stomach that something's awry. That's only 8 years, 9 years since most people had a smartphone. In our bodies, thankfully, I mean, I love this part of technology. In our bodies, we have cochlear implants that allow people to hear. We have cataract operations that allow us to see again. We put in steel and rods in our body to supplement our hips and our knees when they break. So we're already beginning to use technology of all sorts in our organic body to help it live and work longer. We're connecting ourselves to technology through mobile phones and over the next 5 years in other ways to allow us to integrate with the broader world, find that information, interact with it. So we are, for whatever reason we've chosen, now connected to technology forever.
I suspect, though, that there's two levels at which the digital divide or the digital chasm is operating. It's internal, but it's also external. There are now huge divides, not just within a country like Australia, a very lucky country, but there are divides between countries. There are countries that are tech savvy, and there are countries that are missing out.
Oh, absolutely. And again, this is not a good thing. I think we need to have this conversation more often and across the planet. You know, if you want to spin that, we're putting 3 billion more people onto this planet by the end of 2050. We're adding somewhere about 10, 15 million more Australians onto this planet again by 2050. Given what we've just spoken about, the change of work, the change of the way we'll live and love, and the way we'll conduct our lives generally, there just isn't enough work to go around for everybody in that space. The resources that we have to stretch much further. There are lots of things that we need to do to make sense of what we've already done to the planet and to be able to even it out. And then you have the Global Innovation Index that came out yesterday, which is, as it says, a global look at the countries that are innovative, and Australia's dropped 4 points. We're down to 23 now. You know, we're behind countries like Chile, like Germany, like Istanbul. I mean, they're all ahead of us. I mean, what's going on?
We're becoming a quaint anachronism. Well, it's, I suppose, moving on from being a quarry. Fascinating, Morris. Absolutely fascinating. And thank you indeed, Morris Mizalowski, business futurist.